Good to be in church tonight. Turn around, shake somebody's hand, tell them, we're going to make it. We're going to make it, Brother John. Brother Larry, we're going to make it. Brother Tim, we're going to make it. Hallelujah. Brother Samuel, we're going to make it, buddy. Play some more of that song, if you will. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. God bless you, Brother Eddie. We're going to make it, brother. God bless you. God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you. Amen, Jonathan. God bless you. Oh, it gives me faith. I'm gonna make it after all. Sing that chorus again. Oh, after all, this life is over. Say praise the Lord. Amen. Well, it's such a privilege to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Come up on the steps just a few minutes ago and saw a young man standing there, Brother Caleb Yance. He's able to be in this service here tonight. Praise the Lord, Brother Brad. God bless you, buddy. Amen. Not even realizing what Brother Caleb has endured and went through since his injury, but just the family, Brother Brad and Sister Sarah, the stress and the things that it's probably put on them. Well, the Lord's able to help us everyone, though, isn't he? Somebody say, I love him better than everything in the world. Amen. Let's look at our prayer requests. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes tonight while we look at our prayer request. We'll remember Sister Shirley Robbins in prayer. She is having back pain tonight, so we certainly want to pray for our sister. Melissa Waller and Hannah Linichek send this in. Please pray for my cousin, Landon Waller. He was born 6 weeks early. He's having some stomach and bowel issues. Thank you, and may God bless. So we'll just commit that unto the Lord tonight. Ask God to help that child. Sister Judy Davis sends this in to please pray for guidance of the surgeon's hands during Brother Junior's surgery tomorrow, and that all will go well. We just commit Brother Junior to the hands of Almighty God. Amen. God's able to fix everything, isn't he? We believe that tonight. Sister Ruth Ann Carter sends this in to please pray for Riley Butcher. He was moved to the Children's Hospital in Charlotte, North Carolina. Started running a fever. Found his incision was leaking. They did surgery again and put a drainage tube back in. He came out of surgery about an hour ago, so we certainly want to pray for Riley Butcher, that the Lord would just be mindful of that situation tonight. Brother Mark Hubbard sends this in to please pray for my daughter, Kara Hubbard, who has the croup. Also pray for my wife, Megan Hubbard, who has the doctor's appointment tomorrow concerning some stomach problems. So we just commit that to the Lord tonight. Ask God to be mindful of them. I want to pray for Sister Martha Johnson's mother, that the Lord will touch her. We just commit that to the Lord. Sister Janet Payne sends this in to please pray for a little girl named Blakely, having surgery on her jaw on Friday. Also, the people from New Zealand ask for prayer. There is much flooding in their part of the country, and they're just asking that we would pray for their safety and the Lord would just be with them. Brother Luther Jordan sends this in to please pray for Sister Bonnie Jordan from Montana. She's having kidney problems and blood pressure problems that have been bothering her for 3 years. She is very sick and needs a touch from the Lord, so we just commit that prayer request unto our Lord tonight. Also want to pray for Chris Chun. I hope I got that name right. His sister Cynthia Parker's nephew. He is very sick with kidney failure, so we certainly want to pray for that need tonight. Then I'll just give you this testimony they sent in concerning Brother Caleb Yontz. The Yontz family would like to take this time to share this testimony. We want to thank the Lord for Caleb being able to be in the house of the Lord tonight. The doctors and the physical therapist are amazed at how quickly his recovery has occurred. At first, the physical therapist said they would need to see him for about 6 weeks, but after 3 visits, they said he no longer needed their services. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. Isn't that great, Lydia? After his fall, the doctors explained to us that Caleb has an unusually large area around the spinal cord. And in the 30 years of his practice, he has never seen a spinal area that large. That's what saved his life and kept him from being paralyzed. Every physician that has read his x-rays and scans all made the same comment. God was watching over that boy. Amen. Well, I'll just go ahead and cry. I can't help it. Praise the Lord. They want to praise the Lord for His mercy. I appreciate your mercy. Are you glad for mercy? Let's stand tonight. Let's sing a little bit more of that song. You help me tonight. Oh, trials here are sometimes many, and oft times my feet grow weary. Ushers come. I almost stumble, then I fall. But the tender hand that leads me, it's the hand that keeps me steady. And by faith, I know I'll make it after all. Sing it now with your heart. Oh, after all. Cannot make it, but I know He's right here to help me. He will hear my prayers if won't give. I'll just call. Keep on trusting and believing. Oh, that's the word I hear Him whisper. Oh, just a few more days. Yeah. Amen. Brother Skip, come tonight. If you have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about, raise your hand tonight, Brother Skip. God bless you. Love you, buddy.
Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be in church tonight. And we're just so appreciative, Lord, of the testimonies that went forth. And we hear them constantly from the pulpit here. And we thank you for it, Lord. We know you're a healer. You're still a healer. You're still the same as you ever was, Lord. And we thank you for your mercy, too. And what we're hearing to help us live closer to you, Lord. Just help us to live it, Lord. And God, we ask for the many requests that went forth tonight. Many families here have lost loved ones. Lord God, the time's coming short, Lord. But we claim them. Brother Branham said we could, so we do. They're our inheritance, Lord. We'll not leave them here, Lord. We'll not leave a hoof behind. Lord, we ask you to be with our pastor tonight. We bless him, give him the words to speak. He'll give us life, give us strength. And Lord Jesus, we ask that you'd bless the remainder of the service. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Skip. God bless you. I got it backwards. Ushers are supposed to come now, aren't they? Well, they've done got your money, so that's all that matters. Amen. If you're a visitor here tonight, may God bless you. We're so glad to have you. Brother Buckles, Sister Buckles, glad to have you folks with us tonight. Those that are streaming this service, may God richly bless those folks as well. Well, let's just sing one song, and I'm going to let you sit down and rest a little while. I know you're looking forward to the preaching of the Word of the Lord, aren't we? Are we hearing some of the greatest things that's ever been on the face of the earth? Amen. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How I
somebody say, praise the Lord. Now give him another big hand clap of praise. My God is real. My God is real. I sing a little bit, my God is real tonight. Just before we changed the order of the service tonight, I thought I had all kinds of songs tonight, and ain't none of them showed up to sing for us tonight. So, Brother Mac, if you want to come be get ready to sing one while we sing this, you'll be ready to sing. We'll go right on into the service. But I know one thing tonight, above everything else in the world, here in Satan's Eden, Brother Terry, my God is real. How many believe it with all your heart? You believe you're serving an all-powerful, all-sufficient Lord Jesus Christ? Give him one more big hand clap of praise if you love him tonight. Hallelujah. My God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is real. For he has washed and made me whole. His love for me. His life pure gold. My God is real. Brother Mac, God bless you as you sing. I don't need to walk on water. A bridge was built for me. God gave His Son, who gave His life on a cross at Calvary. Now I can walk in faith. I'm sheltered safe because of what God did. I don't need to walk on water. I have a bridge. Now I used to think that I could handle this life on my own. And I never dreamed I'd need someone to help me through life's storm. Oh, but God knew I could never cross the dark and raging sea. So He made a way for my escape upon that old rugged tree. Now I don't need to walk on water. A bridge was built for me. God gave His Son, who gave His life on a cross at Calvary. I can walk in faith. I'm sheltered safe because of what God did. Now I don't need to walk on water. I have a bridge. Now it's an old familiar story, how the Savior walked the sea. And He called out to Peter, "Won't you come and walk to me?" Now sometimes my faith, it can get so low, and it's down to sink or swim. But I can rise above those angry waves. I have a bridge, it's Him. Now I don't need to walk.
on the water. A bridge was built for me. God gave His Son, who gave His life on a cross at Calvary. I can walk in faith, I'm sheltered safe, because of what God did. I don't need to walk on water. I have a breeze. No, I don't need to walk on water. I have a breeze.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Mac. God bless you. Well, let's stand tonight. We'll sing a chorus. Our pastor's going to come bring us the word of the Lord tonight, and I know you're looking forward to it. I want to remember Brother Terry. He's going to be going overseas here in the next couple of days for some services. I believe you and Brother Danny. Is that right, Brother Danny? So certainly pray for our brothers and, well, just our ministry here that works out of this church. Let's pray for every one of them. We got some wonderful ministers here. You know that? We got a tremendous pastor. Tremendous pastor. Wouldn't trade you for nobody in the world, would you? Amen. Well, I'll pay for that probably. But amen. I mean that with all of my heart. We just appreciate the ministry and what it stands for, and your life, what it stands for. We're a testimony against this world. You know that? We certainly are. Let's sing a chorus tonight. We're going to keep pressing on, aren't we? We're going to keep pressing on. Oh, we're pressing. We're gonna keep pressing on the higher calling of our Lord. Oh, we're gonna keep pressing on. Yes, we're pressing on. We're gonna keep pressing on. The higher calling of our Lord. Sing one more time if you will. Yes, we're gonna keep pressing on. Church, we're pressing on. We're gonna keep pressing on.
The higher calling of our Lord. It's no wonder that Paul said he was persuaded that there was nothing that we would go through in this life that would be even worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us at that day. Let's read in Revelation chapter 21, verse 22. We'll read through verses 26. I want to speak to you tonight on the eternal day. Revelation 21, 22. I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple. Now notice that John, when he says this, he says the Lord God Almighty and then the Lamb, but only one temple. So it's not two people or you'd have two houses. But the Lord God Almighty, which is the Father, hanging over the body which sits on the throne. I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there is no night there. And they shall bring their glory and honor of the nations. Now verse 24 says that they'll bring the honor of the kings. But verse 26 says they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. You think of what John must have saw. How overwhelmed he must have been to see a place like this. I trust by God's grace, there won't be a one of us present or anyone that'll hear this. They'll not be able to make that great day. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we realize it's truly a wonderful, wonderful thing that we've been called to. Just to live for you in this life, and then if we went and we lived our lives for you and you were good to us and you healed us and you encouraged us and you were so kind to us along life's journey. And then we drawed our last breath and that would be the end of it. We would be like an animal or a bird when it died, that we would just cease to exist. Still, I would want to live for you because you've been so good to me. But yet, Lord, to think that this is the smallest portion of time that we have in knowing you is in humanity, in this life. Lord Jesus, may you make these things real to us tonight. It's hard for our human minds to comprehend a world when we never get tired, we never get weary. Nobody ever has a crossword. Nobody's ever sick. Nobody ever has an ache or a pain. I pray that you would impress upon us tonight the reality of that world. Grant it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I have to be honest with you and say, when I read these things, I ponder, I wonder about them. I look at them in the light of Scripture. I look at them in the light of the message. I try to look at them in the meaning of the words in a different language and see if somehow that would help me to see it a little greater. But in all of the avenues that I've looked, it seems it still limits you in what you're able to really understand about what lays before us as the people of God. To think about God and His mercy that would reach to us from where we were and change us into something as what we are now, that's a wonderful work. It's a great miracle. We'll never be over that. But then to think that it is ongoing, that He's still changing us by His Word, and that it will continue to be ongoing. No doubt if the Lord tarries, some of us that are sitting here tonight will have to go by the way of the grave. I may have to go that way. You may have to go. Others may have to go that way. But that doesn't change who we are. And it doesn't change where we're going. But yet we know that the power of God that is deposited in our souls is something that death itself cannot take away. Sickness, disease, trouble, no matter what storms and trials of life that we would have, nothing can ever break away that portion of His life that He's given to us. Amen. And yet to think that when we then get into this great paradise of God, that the glory of God, which has been revealed in us only in a temporary measure now, will start to take on its full fruition. And then we will truly be known that we are His. You see, to Him now, it's an important thing that a child of God is identified as being His child. And He wants us to know that. He sends His Word. He sends confirmation of that, evidence of His indwelling presence. But He can only reflect it in what time will allow him to do it. But in eternity, he's not just going to give you a great beautiful mansion and a street of gold and a paradise by which you will live. But him being able to once and for all, for the eternal essence of God to be proved in your life that you are his. For him to be able to reflect that will be one of the greatest things of eternity. Whenever we look and see how that John sees the unfolding of this paradise of God and see what things that God allows to be personified to John. The streets that he saw, the wonderful stones, the gates of pearl, all those beautiful things. You wonder how many more things that he saw that he didn't even mention. But yet the things that he mentioned no doubt had a correlation of what God wanted him to write down in the vision. And this book is the only book of the Bible by which the Lord Jesus himself stands at the ends of it and has a positive affirmation himself and saying that these things are true. So the order by which God shows them and the things which are outstanding. Now you think that we're talking about an eternal place of eternal value and eternal quality. And yet there's only a very few phrases or verses in this book that actually identifies what it's like. Now why wouldn't God just have verse after verse, chapter after chapter, book after book after book after book? No doubt it could have been written. It could have been written to unveil all that would be there, but there was something about it. He wanted to let just certain parts of it out, and he would keep the remaining portion of it to be revealed when we get there at that day. Why did he do that? I don't know. It's just something about his character. But it gives us a little view of what the city itself will be like and also of the kingdom which will go beyond the city and what will live on the outside. Now remember, this will be an eternal kingdom and there will be people that will be living on the outside of the city that while they were here in time were not possessors of eternal life. They were not quickened by the seed word of the hour, which is a part of who you are if you're elect. But yet God, in his mercy, offered to them out of the book of life, the grace of God spilled over from the Lamb's book of life, over into the book of life, and there will be millions or billions, who knows how many there will be, that will be living spread out all across the new earth, and there will be the nations of them that are saved. Now, the Bible doesn't call them elect, but they are saved people. So, you know, God wants to reach out and save a man. A man may never really come to the realization of this message. But let's you and I not put him out. God may have a place for him outside there. Now, if God thinks that way about people, then it should not be you and I too. You can't go and you can't go and you can't go. Let whosoever will, let them go. If God will give them mercy, let them go. You know, I found out a long time ago, I don't do good playing God. I said, I don't do good playing God. I don't judge right. I don't let the right folks in. No doubt I'd let folks in. That's the wrong folks. And no doubt I'd try to keep some out that God would let in. So I just figure I'm better off just to be Don in. Let him be God. Let him to take care of the judging and doing all the big heavy stuff. And I'll just kind of help him along and do what I can. And let me just tell you, in case you don't know, you don't make a good God either. You just be a child of God, a daughter of God, a son of God. Be a good Christian. Let God do the judging. Let God do the building. Let God do the calling. And you just be happy you're in. Now, in that, if God desires them to have nations on the outside of this city, as we looked at last week, and we know truly that he will. Let's look at this in verse 24. And the nations of them which are saved. Now, will all nations be saved? They will not. Will the nationalities and diversities of humankind, will they be on the outside? Yes, they will. Who will they be? Well, I don't really know for sure, but I know that his way is just. Now, we know that in the millennium, Psalms 2, he said, ask me the heathen for thine inheritance, and we would reign over them. In the millennium, there will be nations, people, that will actually be submitting. It will not be that we will be going out and preaching, but will be under a different dominion. It will be under the kingship
Jacob of the son of David. But yet many of them will come and they will accept the Lord under that dispensation. Now we know God is not going to raise up those who've had an opportunity under the preaching of the gospel and then they turned it down, then God will give them another chance. It's people who never had the opportunity. Now think of this, no doubt all down through time and the different increments and dispensations of time, God has kept an element of people, of the Babylonians, of the Assyrians, of whoever more, that were in darkness or oblivion to know the present day truths. Now God being a just God, He could never judge them in the light of truth had they never heard it. But God kept maybe a tribe over here and one over there in the days of Jeremiah and one over here in the days of Ezekiel and one over here and one over here. But yet they will have an opportunity to be able to choose. Now they will not choose under the day of grace as we know it, but they will choose under the Davidic kingdom of Jesus sitting on the throne. There they will come up. Now we know that there will be a temple in the millennium and the son of David will enter in the gate there. We've been through that before. But yet there they will make their choice. Then coming up out of that, the saved nations of the earth. Will there be Indians there? No doubt there will. Will there be Easterners? Will there be all kinds of people? No doubt God will have them there. But they will be saved. Now what God calls saved and what God categorizes as elect is two different categories of people. Now I realize folks don't like categories, but you might as well get used to it. It's always been and it always will be. But the categorization that God has is not like man. Because a man will categorize, man will have specialties and favors and this and that and the other, but God does it in a just way. Now in this new earth, everybody will not be a king. How will the kings be determined? I do not know, but I know that there will be kings that will live outside. Notice the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Now the kings of the earth will not live in the city. They will not dwell in the city. They are not permanent residents of the bride's tabernacle, but they live outside, but they will come in and bring their honor and their glory, whatever it is. The word glory here is the same word, doxa, the same Greek word that refers to the glory of God and the glory of church. So they will have some type of glory, some type of something that will be on them and also on their nations. And they will come and visit this city where you and the elect of the ages will live. Now remember, it's not just the seven church age elect. But it will be the Old Testament elect. It will be Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. It will be the Old Testament elect in the days of Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Zephaniah, Haggai, Malachi, Zechariah, all of those on up to the hinge of the New Testament, then from the New Testament on. So the elect of God, this city is for the elect of God, both Old and New Testament. Then the kings of the earth will live on the outside, but they will not live apart now from the dominion of the king. For now it is the entirety of the family of God. Now as a family can have children and grandchildren and nieces and nephews and so on and so on, in this great economy of God, everyone will not be exactly on the same plane. Though they will all have eternal life and they'll have to live there. But notice, Brother Ben said, what's outside the gates of the walls? Spread across the new earth, nations will dwell in eternal peace. Now what? Honored kings will bring their glory into it. No sin can be there. No bobbed-haired women will enter that city, I guarantee you that. No more short-wearing, cigarette-smoking, whoremongers, whores, or liars, idolaters, whatever they was, won't enter that city, no. Oh, aren't you glad for that? It's all to be over. Sin will be gone. Nothing to defile its holiness shall enter there. That's what he said. It is all passed away forever. But notice this now in identified masterpiece, the sun difference from the moon from the stars, and there is angels such as seraphims, cherubims, angels, and great angels in degrees. And even in the new world to come, the kings of the earth bring their honor into the city. We're always going to be, listen, that way. Because God is not a Sears and Roebuck Harmony House. He is a God of variety. He makes one way and one another. But we must serve Him in the way that God has made us and be glad and stay behind His Word. That's the way God did it. Now remember when God raised up actually Nebuchadnezzar. God actually gave this man a kingdom and He showed him that he was the head of gold in the dream, and then Daniel comes and interprets the dream and sees a vision that parallels exactly being the same way. And yet he was a heathen. He was a man that never really embraced the truth, but yet he was an instrument by which God actually called him His servant. Now in this, God shows us then, even in the days of Abraham, when Abimelech was going to take Sarah, and he said, Lord, you know the integrity of my heart. I would have never done that. He said, I know the integrity of your heart. He was not in the message of the hour, but yet God reckoned that this man did have an element of integrity. So we can see the foreshadowing, even in the Old Testament, of kings and how they treated the elect of God. They were not of the same quality, of the same essence, but yet they were around the elect. Now remember, when you see a tithe or you see a shadow, if there is a shadow, there must be a positive somewhere. So if we see a kings in the life of Abraham that never were elect, yet they were around the elect, that is a shadow. So if that is a shadow, then there must be a reality in the new earth. There was a king in the time of Joseph that was good to Joseph. That was a shadow. There were kings that were good to the people of God. There were even emperors that allowed Claudius being one of them, and others that would allow the Christians to be able to worship their God. So we see these shadows. So if we look tonight, and you'll be able to see the shadow of my hand on this pulpit. Well, because there is a negative and a positive. Now, if my hand makes a shadow, then there has to be the positive. So the shadow is the negative and my hand is the positive. So if there were kings in the Old Testament that were good to the people of God, kings in the New Testament that were good to the people of God, there will be kings in the eternal day which were good to the people of God. They will live on the outside of the city. People like Nicodemus and different ones, they could never really be the bride. They could never see the Word, but yet they stood for the people of God in the time of trouble. Aren't you God? You got a loving father like that. Now notice then, they will populate this new earth. Notice what Brother Ram says now. And even in the new world to come, the kings of the earth will bring their honor into the city. So everybody in the new earth will not be a king. They will be over other people. Now watch in verse 25, Revelation 21, 25. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Now remember John being an Easterner and living in this type of a setting, knowing that it was as common as there was a sun and a moon. If there was a setting of the sun, there was something that came with the setting of that sun, and that was the closing of the gates of the city. You see, there would be people that would live outside the walls of Jerusalem or the walls of Jericho, whatever the fenced city was. They may have little villages to the east and the west and the north and the south. But if an enemy would approach, you know what they would do? They would leave their dwellings and they would come inside the city walls, and there they would shut the gates and they would come there for protection. So for John to look and see that as the sun was setting on the outside of the wall, are you talking about a profound realm that we're going to live in? That right outside the city wall. Now remember, the golden streets stop right here at the wall. The walls of jasper stop right here. What are walls? Walls are a place that dictate and define a boundary. So the boundary is defined by walls of jasper. The streets of gold will come right up to the city limits. And once you step through the gates of pearl, you will step out on whatever type of pavement that it is or grass that it is. But the streets of gold stop at the gate. Oh my. Walls of jasper stop at the gate. Gates of pearl will be able to enter. What is it? Those who lived on earth that lived by a defined law of God. A law of what? A law of separation. We don't look like the world. We don't act like the world. We don't do like the world says. Don't you see? You are foreshadowing your home. You are living a life. Now I realize there's folks in the message that live this way because of legalism. And they do it. Well, mama makes men, daddy makes men, and Brother Donnie will preach on me if I don't do this or this or this. You need to get your attitude changed. You need to live this because it is a revelation to you. Sisters, God don't want you to not cut your hair simply because I preach on you or your mama don't want you to. You need to pray and say, God, make this thing real to me. Why, Lord, do I wear a dress? What's the difference in me wearing a dress and other women claiming to be Christian and they wear shorts and pants and all that sort of thing? Until God makes it real to you, you'll go back and forth and question about it. Well, once God reveals it to you, you have found your decreed boundary. And you see, this is what your husband wants. He don't want you putting on breeches and looking like a man. He don't want your hair cut off like a man. He don't want you men looking like women. He don't want us being rolled all over with tattoos and all that sort of thing. We are a separate people. But our separation is not man-made. It's decreed by the one who made the walls of jasper. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. So you imagine John as he sees, let's just suppose now, that God allows him to break into this eternal day. And John sees the light emanating from the top of the city, coming down through in the yellows and the greens and the reds and the purples and the emeralds. And all that he sees coming from the throne of God, hitting the foundations of the walls and all reflecting back up over those streets of gold and your mansions and all around. And then John sees on the outside of the city, he sees the sun. And on the outside of the city, he sees the moon. And then he sees, as it were, the sun setting. But he notices something that they don't do, which they always did in every other eastern city. And that was, as soon as the sun started setting, they would close the gates and bar them. And John saw the sun go down on the outside of the streets of gold. And he saw the sun go down and he said it. But there was no command to shut the gates. Because since there is no night in there, there's no need to shut the gates out here. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day. For there shall be no night there. He didn't say there wouldn't be no night. But there'll be no night there. Do you understand if you're born again tonight and got the Holy Ghost, you're already in that? There is no night there. Sickness can be in here, trouble, anxiety, worry. Is that right, church? Oh, you know what I'm talking about? That you live in between two worlds. It's as if though you're suspended in between two great dimensions. One of darkness, one of sickness, one of trouble. And yet on the inside, oh hallelujah, your soul is behind the veil and there is no night there. So you don't need to shut these gates. There's nobody rebellious on the outside. There's no aggressors. There's nobody plotting. There's nobody got a gun. There's nobody got any kind of evil. All they bring into the city is tribute, honor, and glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now notice in verse 26, and they shall bring the glory and the honor of nations. Now remember verse 24 said, they will bring the honor of the kings. Now the kings will come in a twofold manner. Now remember, at one time, some of these kings actually lived on the earth in an unregenerate condition. As a matter of fact, Brother Ram said, when they go out, they would pull the leaves off of that tree of life and they'd give one to another and they'd say, brother, at one time on earth, we fought for one another's blood. We killed, we cherished, we done all of this, but now we're at peace. So you mean these kings were actually kings before? So what they are in the eighth day is what they were somewhere else. Don't you understand you are too? Don't you understand that you are an embodiment right now of what you were? He thought of you sitting in this building tonight as being a child of God and saying amen to the word. He thought of that. So you are now what you were somewhere else. And in eternity, you will be then what you were somewhere else. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now listen to this. God will not permit Satan to block his plan of redemption. Now when the Garden of Eden was set, God, as we've looked at it before, but just to go back on it for just a moment, God created the man in a state which he could fall. Now we say, well, we're going back to where Adam was. And we are to a degree. But to another degree, we're going beyond what Adam was. Because whatever it was that Adam had, he could lose. And he could fall from. Adam fell from something. Eve fell from something. But we're going to something we will never fall away from. So there is a difference. So why would God make them in such a way where that they could fall? So that this great plan of God could unfold itself. In him was all of these attributes of divinity, hold on now, and also of humanity that laid within the being of the eternal. So he desired to express all this through the work of redemption. Now remember, he chose the work of redemption. And redemption is not to start with something new. It is not to make something that has never been before, but it is to redeem something which existed in another form. So God chose the work of redemption, which is the plan he must use for those attributes of God. Now in that, there will be some that rub shoulders with the attributes on the earth. And they will be allowed to come into the presence of God and the presence of the redeemed. And they will be called the saved people. Like some of the good people around here that you work with and folks that's nice and they don't understand what you believe. They don't have a clue. You try to explain it to them. You try to witness to them. And they just look at you like you're from another world. They're right. But they're thinking Mars and you're thinking heaven. Now remember, James tells us in the book of James that we are the first fruits of the harvest of his creatures. Now, if God then has a first fruits or a tithing of humanity, then there must be another 9/10 that will come. So when will that come? It will come in the completion in the eternal day. Now, the gathering down through the ages has been the elect, and God gathers them by what? By the word. So he sends a message, and every day the elect of God hear that word. They become a part of the word. They live their life. God seals them away. They go into the sixth dimension. There they wait for the resurrection. It's the same story over and over and over again through countless ages. Then God at the end time will gather together the elect, cause the resurrection to take place, and then it will move into this cycle to where the eighth day will begin to unfold into what God identifies himself as the dispensation of the ages. So here's a dispensation of grace, a dispensation of the law, a dispensation of the Son of Man, a dispensation of the Son of God, a dispensation of the Son of David. But when all of this is consummated and finished, then Jesus, the humanity, will turn the kingdom over to the Father, Spirit God, that he may be all in all. Jesus will sit on the throne. The Father will hang above him. Not two gods, not an old man or a little boy. But God is a spirit. God is a light. Then notice, when this earth has gone through the final stage of redemption, God will bring out all of those attributes that was in his book. Then he will allow those saved ones, which are the other 9/10. Now you look at your tithing. What is your tithing? A tithing is the 10% that you make and you give it back to God. So this is the first fruits of your offering. Now you do that, or your tithing, rather, you do that to give to God, and you say, God, I give you this, and God says, I will bless you. Now look, God has a tithing of people, and that is Levi, or in the spiritual sense, the bride. So God has had this tithing of people down through time. So God, instead of paying tithes, God was collecting tithes. God was collecting tithes in Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. And God is collecting tithes in this last day. That don't mean all the rest of the 9/10 of them will be lost, but tithing is special to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Tithing ain't even yours. You say, my tithes, that ain't yours in the first place. That belongs to God. Now, if you give an offering and a missionary offering, oh, that's above what belongs to God. But tithing is God's. Glory. Tithing is God's. Not only money, but tithing of people is God's. God's bride is the tithes.
Don't look at me funny. I ain't making that up. Brother Ben says that. God has a tithing of people.
So James says then that we are the first fruits. So the first ones that raises, what is it? The tithing. Now the rapture is for the tithing of those that have lived down through time. So what are you going to do with the rest of it?
Well, you got to gather it at the bank. But the teller window ain't open in the millennium. The bank ain't in full operation to gather all 9/10 until the eternal day rolls around.
Now once the eternal day rolls around, then Satan has already been confined to his prison. The final stage of redemption has been consummated on the earth. The earth has been renovated, the seas are gone, and the earth has been brought back together in the continental divides the way she was separated. God will bring them together with enough space upon the earth in order to populate the way that it is, because the seas were there to divide all these different people. But in the new earth, there will be no need for continental divides. There will be no need for Asia being over here and Africa over there. But he will bring the landmass together according to, oh glory, to his wisdom, of however big a place that we need.
Oh my. Notice verse 17. And there shall in no wise, in no wise. I love these words that John, led by the Holy Ghost, chose to use. On no account, by no means. This strong language denotes the absolute exclusion of all that is specified in this verse. Now with that in mind, listen to this verse. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. So if people in time were defilers, they will not be allowed to enter in to that place. They must be forgiven. We was all defiled and defilers. But we had to get changed. Now watch. The heaven is not a mixture. It's not a great melting pot of gays and lesbians and liars and cigarette smokers and pot smokers and, you know, whatever more. It is not together. Everybody, we know in this age, everybody goes to heaven. I hope not. Country music stars die and live like dogs and live lower than animals. But yet how many of them, whenever they preach their funeral, boy, they put them right in the gates. If Conway Twitty and George Jones and all them people start living the way they live, man, I'm checking out. If you can live like the devil and go to heaven and walk down streets of gold, I'll tell you one thing, that ain't my idea of heaven. Come on, children. Oh, I know they want to put Elvis in and put everybody else in. My Lord, I believe some of the folks would even put the devil in. Of course, since he's their father, I guess they feel sorry for him. Whoops, my. But you know what God says? There ain't going to be nothing there that defiles. Nothing that pollutes. So you and I better get our act together and get cleaned and washed by the Holy Ghost. There shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh an abomination.
An abomination. So, I guess that includes Deuteronomy 22 and 5. A woman shall not put on that which pertains to a man, for it is an abomination to God. And if man lies with mankind, he shall be stoned. For it is an abomination. Oh, they make preachers out of them, pastors out of them. That's the church. God don't. God ain't got no homosexual preachers. God ain't got no homosexual children. Now some of them might have been, but they ain't no more once they get the Holy Ghost. They delivered. Come on now.
So whatsoever makes an abomination will not be allowed. You said, well, the 10 kings, though, they fought. That's the wondering work power of grace. Many of these kings was as heathen as they could be. But somehow they were able to meet on God's requirement, and they were able to be changed, be accepted by God's grace, be saved, as we say, and carried right over into the city. Oh, you're talking about amazing grace. Notice that there shall in no wise enter into anything, anything that defileth, whatsoever worketh an abomination or maketh a lie, loves and invents a lie, and speaks one, delivers that which is false with an intention to deceive. So when folks put on Facebook things that ain't exactly right, they better straighten up their act, or they ain't going to heaven. I guess everybody's got Facebook's a preacher, ain't it? I mean, I'm sure some of you saved folks that's got the Holy Ghost. Some of y'all, surely you don't make Facebook your pulpit. Why don't you use it what it's intended for? Recipes, prayer requests, contacting folks about this, that, and other instead of projecting doctrine, preaching this and preaching that. But Facebook, all you need is a Facebook, an account, and a computer, and you're an automatic preacher. Don't you understand? It's just as wrong to handle the Word of God if you're not called on Facebook as it would be for you to walk behind this pulpit with a Bible in your hand. What's the difference? But people think sitting in their home in front of their computer, that relieves them from that. It does not relieve you at all. If you're not called to handle the words, you better leave it alone. Ooh, glory. Now notice, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they, which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Isn't it amazing that the six times in the book of Revelation, or the six times in the New Testament, let me say it that way, that the book of life is mentioned, this is the only place that it calls it the Lamb's. The other references are book of life. But here, it's the Lamb's book of life. Now, I realize one of the things that becomes so sticky for us in the message is the doctrines that we believe on election and predestination and choosing and calling and all that. But we believe it, first of all, because it's a Bible. Brother Bram never invented these things. Brother Bram wasn't the first one to introduce them. God was. God believes in election. God believes in choosing and predestination. As a matter of fact, for whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. So if you've got a problem with predestination, go to the author of it. Amen. Don't go to me. I'm just a preacher reflecting what he said about it. But I want you to notice now, in the city, the inhabitants in the city are a special group of people which are found in this special section called the Lamb's Book of Life. They which are written. Now they are chosen of God, the elect of God. Now watch this from a preacher who lived back in the 1600s, John Gill. He said, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, who are predestinated to eternal life, and though they are naturally and in themselves defiled and sinful creatures, yet they are justified by the righteousness of Christ, sanctified His Spirit, and so are made meet and fit to enter into this city. Matthew Poole, 1700s, that they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, none but those whose names are written in there, predetermined to salvation and redeemed with the blood, oh hallelujah, of Christ. Predetermined. You mean back there in the 1600s and the 1700s? In the 0 hundreds, God believed in predestination. Before the time ever started ticking on the atomic clock of God, God foreordained and predestinated a church that would stand in this last day. Amen. And down through time, she's a part of Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Notice, And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. They which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Notice how this phrase says. It doesn't say their name. But it says they. Now your name represents you. Right? You go to the bank and you make an agreement or a contract, or you sign into a doctor's office and you put your name there, and they stand up there. They may not know you by face if it's your first time, but they call your name. And then when you stand up, that gives them the identification of you're Larry Elliott, you're whoever you are. But here it's not just the bride's name, but you, your personality, who you are, was written in that book. Now watch, then John moves from an outlay of the city, laying what's on the outside. It's as if God in the vision takes him here. Then he takes him there. Then he takes him over here. And in between one journey stop to another in the vision, God will inject these doctrines of his deity. Now watch, John moves from the Lamb's book of life into chapter 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life. Now notice the last verse of the 21st chapter, the last word was life. The first verse of the 22nd chapter, in here again, we see another form of life, the water of life. Can't you see what this city is? It's all about life. There's no graves, there's no funeral punters, there's no funeral directors, there's no doctors, there's no nurses. Thank God. Now John moves in from the kings on the outside and moves back inside the city. And then John notices a river, a pure river of water of life. A pure river of water of life. Clear as crystal. Proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Now notice the water of life, the tree of life, the book of life, the God of life, the people of life, the city of life. Every bit of it is based upon life. No death mentioned at all for that city or that day. But it is all life. Now this life could only be made possible through the work of redemption of God himself, condescending to becoming a human being in order to pay the price of redemption for us. Now in that redemption, if he come down and say, wanted to buy the cul-de-sac where you live, and he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to buy the whole residential area. But he only wanted you. But all the rest of them folks benefited by electric lights and sewer and water and all the whole thing for your sake. You better be good to me. These folks out here better be good to you. That's right. Now notice the parallel. Here we come back now from Genesis in the setting in the beginning when God had expanded his creation upon the earth, and God brought up animal life, bodily life, all that. And he places a man and he places a paradise. In this paradise is four rivers, Hiddekel, Euphrates, and all that. In this comes a great things and comes out in four heads. Starts out in one river and then disperses into four heads. But here we see now paradise regained. And what do we see? We see another river. Except this one doesn't begin in Egypt. This one doesn't begin in the mountains of Armenia. This one originates out from under the throne. Lord Jesus. It doesn't come out of the ground. This type of river could not come out of the ground. Now, will there not be rivers on the outside? There will be. But they won't come from the throne. No doubt there'll be beautiful lakes and rivers and streams and maybe even large bodies of water. But where will they come from? The new earth. But this river, the angels ain't going down in the granite and drilling up and doing, all right, go ahead, Gabriel, blow her out. Everybody run. But it comes. comes out from under the throne. So the inhabitants of the city drink of this special water supply. Flowing from the throne. Now remember, you know, in many of these major cities, those of you that study the ruins, you remember that one of the seven wonders of the ancient world was the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. And the reason that the Hanging Gardens of Babylon were built was because the king had married a woman from a mountainous country. And being in Babylon, a very flat Iraq country there, she so missed her mountains that this king actually had his architects to build and design the Hanging Gardens that would look like tiers or steps of a mountain. So in here come the River of Life, and Brother Ben said Satan impersonated that, and it come right down through the middle of it, right from under the throne. But yet it was man-made. And because man made it, it could be destroyed and was destroyed. But in this city, the water of life comes out from under the throne of God, and the elect of God are identified with its origination. And because they drunk of this life, of this water of life in the spiritual sense, on earth in their journey, their entire eternity will be associated with the same water of life. Lord Jesus, I love this in Future Home. Brother Raymond says, I've never seen nothing so quenching as to be in the mountains and find, as I preached the other night, that stream bubbling up, its life-giving resource. You'd be tired and thirsty, fall down by a good stream, way down where germs can't go. Way down hundreds of feet in the earth is bubbling forth pure, genuine, life-giving water. We appreciate that. The earth has many streams of refreshing water. When you're thirsty and dying, you get a good cold drink from that. It'll help you to live. But look where this one comes from. From the throne. There is where it gets its life-giving resources. Comes from under the throne of God, where God sits. All of it, this earth we live in now, everyone, whether it's Christian or pagan, has temples. Did you ever think of that? Churches, all of them. But this one doesn't have any. The Bible said there was no temple, but the Lord God and the Lamb is the temple thereof. The Lamb is the light. The Lamb is the temple. The Lamb is the throne. The Lamb is the life. He is that temple. See, all these temples have an object to worship Him. But in this city, He is the object. He is with His people. His spirit light floods the pyramid city. Now, can you imagine its headwaters, the source, this magnificent, brilliant throne? And Him that was to look upon was like a sardis and a jasper stone. And now from under this throne come the headwaters of the water of life. Amen. From it, now it comes and breaks itself apart and heads over the walls of this city. Built in steps or stages, like your life, like the church ages. Praise the Lord. The city ain't built straight up like that. That ain't the way you came with God. It wouldn't match you. It wouldn't match me. We grow in steps. We grow in stages. So there will be terraces. Amen. And the residences will be arranged according to His divine sovereignty. I don't know, since we're the seventh, if we'll be on top. I don't know if He counts from one down or from one up. It don't matter. I'll be happy either way. If He counts from one up and starts down, that means I'll be right up here and you with me. But if He starts up here and counts down, that means I'll be down there guarding the gates. So it don't matter. I'm going to be happy either way. Whether I'm on the bottom or I'm on the top, I'm in the middle of what's going on. You imagine down, it'll trickle, comes down, the prophet said, in every yard, and the water will trickle over the terraces. And you'll step out in your garden. Oh, glory to God. there will be your house, you and your family, your relatives, however all that'll work, and the water of life coming from the throne of God, coming right on down, right on down. What does it do? Does it recirculate, come right back up again? I don't know exactly how it happened, but I know one thing. Those who are partaking of this water of life now, you've got a whole bunch more waiting on you, friend. Notice, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life. Now remember, in the Garden of Eden, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But there was only one. But remember, the prophet tells us in Future Home, and question and answer also, the tree of life will be blooming in every yard. So in the midst of it, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life. Now watch, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. I thought time was done away with. Wonder how many days an eternal month would have. Oh, children, what awaits us? Now notice, 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit. Notice, her fruit every month. So this tree will produce a certain type of fruit. And we'll say, for sake of us relating to it, every 30 days. And then at the end of that 30, she'll change. And all through this great pyramid city of God, on the first day of the beginning of the new months, all the fruit automatically changes. You know, scientists are so worried and so concerned about global warming. We're going to annihilate the earth, and one day the sun's going to run out of all the stuff. I just laugh and I hear that. I think, y'all don't know, do you? You just don't know. My Father has a purpose for this earth. I'm not saying man can't affect the climate and this, that, and the other, but annihilate it, totally impossible. Satan may say the same thing about you. I'll get you. I'll do this. You'll do no such a thing, you devil. Oh, I'll put cancer on you. But look, even if he does, even if he's allowed, and he can't unless God allows it, he cannot take my life 45 minutes before my time is over as long as I'm in the will of God. The devil cannot shortchange me 1 hour as long as I'm walking where I need to be, because he never brought me on the earth, and he can't take me from the earth until my Father says, now, Donnie. Let's take a trip now. Let's step in through the ability of Malachi 4. And all up and down here will be the redeemed. There will be the houses of pure gold. There will be avenues and parks and gardens. And the river of life coming trickling out from the throne, running down through the little chasms and over the terraces. Why do people love gardens so much? Why do people love state parks? Why do y'all go over to Vanderbilt and see George Vanderbilt's big deal over in Asheville and say, ooh and ah and ooh and ah? It's beautiful. You ever been to Victoria Island and see all different places of the world and say they're just so, what is it about people? Even unregenerate people. There's something about a garden. Something about a setting of nature. Praise the Lord. Don't you see? There's something in man calling for such. What kind of place will this be? That every house. There'll be no shanties. There's no West End in heaven. There's no South Rome. Right? There's no poor side. There's no cheap side as there was in London. There's no poor side. There's no slum areas. Every house is pure gold. Oh, you say, I'm not a garden person. You're fixing to be. Oh, glory. We're fixing to get our original Adamic nature back. Well, we all live in a garden. Beautiful parks, houses of gold. And you, oh listen friend, it won't just be the prophet or the preachers that will have the river of life. The lowest lay member. The water will make its way down from Paul, Rainius, on down. Come down through Brother Branham's yard, down through the great preachers of the message. And maybe I'll be right on the bottom tier, the very last one. But I'll get my share. Listen to this. Avenues and parks and gardens and the river of life come trickling. Notice it's not a big Niagara Falls, but it's trickling. Trickling out from the throne. Running down through little chasms. In every yard. Oh, my. Terraces. The tree of life will be blooming in every yard and bear its fruit. Oh, my goodness. You mean in your yard? You've got the tree of life. In your yard and in yours and yours and yours and every person who lives, every resident in the city. Can't you see? You know how beautiful it is when you go to these streets and cities and mine, they got these big, beautiful trees. Heaven's streets will be lined with trees of life. I'm a tree person. I love trees. I love big, ancient, I just love trees. I do. I love them. But can you imagine walking down the streets of gold and they're lined with trees of life? Oh, Brother Donnie, I don't understand. Why will we be? Because listen. When you become truly converted, you become a tree of life here. You're living not on the tree of death, but in your soul is a tree of life. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate both day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Amen. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water.
Lord Jesus. And the kings of the earth shall come into it and bring their honor in the leaves or for the healing of the nations. When the kings are living in peace out there, when they go out, they'll pick a tree, a leaf off like that. Like the dove come back, the wrath of God had been settled and brought the holly leaf into the ark. So when the king leaves by bringing his glory into the bride's chamber. Can't you see what this is? This is your parlor. This is your chamber. Glory to God. So when the king leaves by bringing his glory into the bride's chamber to the city, he'll hold a leaf to his neighbor king and said, we're in peace forevermore. Healing of the nations, it's all settled. One time we fought for one another's blood. We cherished and hollered and shot and burned children. Now listen, how vile some of these kings were before they got saved. Now, there won't be one of them kings ever walk down them streets of gold unless they had something to change, had to happen in their lives. And neither will you and I live inside that city unless something happens and changes our life. You mean to tell me that there'll still be an element of memory? That they'll recall the work of God in their lives? Somehow it'll be different than the way we remember it now.
When we remember our past life, it causes pain. Doesn't it? You remember a fault, a failure, a mistake. Oh God, I wish, oh Lord, I wish I'd have never. It hurts, but there, it won't hurt. Can you imagine a king of one nation and a king of another, and they look at each other and they say, in the time of Jeremiah, I killed your children. And the other king will say, yes, I raided your villages. I killed your people. But in the millennium, brother, we come under the Davidic reign of the Son of David, and we accepted him as our partner. And we're healed forevermore. We don't fight no more. We got no more trouble. And as they get ready to leave, every time they get ready to go out, they'll pull a leaf off of that and hand it over to one another, because the leaves is for the healing of the nations. Not healing in their bodies. Leaves is the healing of the nations. And they'll go out to their people and they come back and say, what news from the bride's chamber? Oh, it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. There's trees of life in every yard. Oh, the water's tripping down. Oh, it's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life. When you come near, I was 500 miles from the gate of the east side, and I could see the brilliance of the light. I could see the yellows and the greens. It was sort of like a rainbow that was coming from there, the glistening. And I heard in the distance as they were singing and worshiping and praising God. And I heard the angels, hallelujah! And I want to tell you, I run into our bordering king east of us. The king will say, King of Assyria. And all is still well. Amen. No trouble. No worry. Brother Bram says, not disease healing. It's all done. Healing of the nation. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, were the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. The Greek word here is according to each month, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Amen. I mentioned it to you the last time we spoke on this. We're getting healed by leaves now. Bible leaves. Some folks just read it and argue about it, but we read it and get healed by it. It's releasing its life out of there. As we feed on the word, it takes away our sin. It takes away our old rotten attitude. It heals us of the grudges and heals us of all these things. Listen to verse 3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb. Why would he mention curse? What was the first curse mentioned? After the fall in a garden. But notice, the things that will be, he parallels them with the things that will not be. So he says, there will be this, but there won't be this. And there will be this, but there won't be that. In case you're wondering, there's no curse. In case you're wondering, there's no church, temple. In case you're wondering, there's no sun. In case you're wondering, so he said, there'll be this, but there won't be this. There'll be this, but there won't be this. This link is the link that finishes the cycle of redemption. So the tree of life in every yard, the water of life, and there is no more curse. Because there can't be this and be this at the same time. So there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. The throne of God, notice, one, not two, and his servants shall serve him. So the glorious everlasting presence of God revealed on Christ will manifest his final redemptive name of Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is here.
and his servants shall serve him. What in the world are we going to do for eternity? What Brother Donnie was saying, no doubt. Well, don't you think we'll shout? Well, probably. Wonder what of the universe remains. Wonder what of his great omnipotent power will be there in the heavens. They will put us under. We will be in a dominion. So we will serve him, his purpose. It will not stop, friends. Now watch this. Let me close with verse 4. And they shall see his face. You see, God's face is connected with his glory. Unlike our human faces when we see one another. How mine has changed the 26 years that I've been here with you all. How your all's has changed. Right? Why is it that John, this sticks out to him so great? They shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Would you like to know? Come back Wednesday night. Imagine, friends, when we gather there, nobody will ever be asked to come up and close the service in prayer. We will ask Brother so-and-so to come and pray and y'all can be dismissed. There ain't no place else you want to go. I mean, you have arrived. The place that people will want to come and see is the place you live. And you will never have to leave just unless you want to. If you just want to go out and check out what's going on in the other places. But this is where you live. And you will see his face. I felt Jesus many, many times. I felt him so strong in visitations. I felt like I would die. I've heard his voice. I came through some months back by down by Wolf Creek Dam there in Kentucky, where he spoke to me before I came to the message in an audible voice in behind me in the car in the back seat. I was by myself. As I was driving across that dam and the presence of God's come so great in the car, I had to pull off on the side of the road because I thought I was going to wreck. And whenever I did, I sat there and shook as he spoke to me and said there was more truth he was going to show me. I didn't know it was the message. As I come through there a few months back, I pulled off the road again and parked the vehicle and bowed my head and thanked him for that truth. Hallelujah. I've heard him speak to me. I've heard him deal with me. He's given me thousands of sermons and he's been so precious to me. But I've never got to see his face. And I know in the rapture, we'll get to see him, and in the millennium we'll get to see him, and we'll be with him forever. We'll never have to leave him again. Don't you want to see him?
I don't think of Jesus as being a book. To me, Jesus is not a tape. To me, Jesus is not a church service. Jesus is not this building. He's a person. He has a face. He has features. He has hair, hands. I can't wait to touch him. And I'll never have to leave. And neither will you. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, our poor, feeble hearts and minds to try to comprehend such a place. It's almost more than we can imagine. But I know that you who have prepared this great, beautiful city, you've held it in awe. No wonder Brother Ram said, Bride, did you ever wonder what it'll look like? When divine architect has gone in divine love to prepare a divine city for a divine attribute, which has been bought in divine love. Oh, but Lord God, all the attributes, all the adjectives that could be used, those words will no doubt just fade away when that city begins to unveil. May there not be a one of us missing, Lord. I know we can't make ourselves bride. And if I'm not bride, and I'm going to live outside the city, I'll be as happy can be. Because if I'm not bride quality, I'll never know the difference, no way. It's like I'm supposed to be out there. To me, that's the way those people will be. They will know that somehow it will be a divine sense given to them by you, that when they walk in that city and out of that city, there will not be one bit of resentment. The word favoritism will not even be mentioned or thought of. And we know in this life, we would look at it that way and say, oh, it's favoritism, it's this, that, and the other, for one to be treated better than the other. That's our human thinking. But in that world, it will never be. But Lord, I can't keep from believing the way I love you and the way I feel about you. I find it hard to believe I'd be comfortable living outside that city. Lord Jesus, if there's a one here tonight who has a mansion built, but their soul ain't ready for it yet, may you help them. If there's a one, Lord God, and we believe, according to what we've read, the gates have already been hung and hinged. The streets have done been made. No doubt that city is finished tonight. She's just waiting for its inhabitants. So Lord, if there's a one that's got a mansion setting on the fourth tier down or wherever they are, they have representation there, but their life don't match it. Deal with us, Lord. Deal with us. Because heaven is not a place to change us. It's a place to take the changed. It's to take the place to take those who've already been changed by the power of God. So change us, Lord. Make us different. Oh God, may we die to anything and everything that's not like you, Lord Jesus. All carnality of our flesh. Before my feet can ever touch streets of gold, character of gold must be in my soul. Grant it, Lord. Before I'll ever have a tree of life blooming in my yard, the tree of life must bloom in my soul. Before the river of the water of life will trickle down the terrace in my backyard where me and Carol live, the river of the water of life must trickle down the soul, my being. I must drink of the waters of life freely. And if any man believe on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, you said it. Lord, help us tonight, I pray. Grant it, Lord Jesus. And we would raise your hand to him. You want to be more like him. You want him to just search you tonight. Just do a search. Down your heart, your soul, your mind. Your music, your home. Everything you do. All your entertainment, all that you are. Let him search you.
See if he finds anything there that doesn't match jasper walls, gates of pearl, streets of gold, water of life, tree of life. Praise God. Begin with me, Lord Jesus. Search me. My motives, my objectives. Help me, Lord. I love you, Lord Jesus. I want to be like you, Father, with all my heart. Hallelujah. We worship you tonight, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Heaven, sounding sweeter all the time. Oh, heaven, sounding sweeter all the time. It seems like lately it's always on my mind. Someday the bride will leave this world behind. Heaven, sounding sweeter all the time. Can we sing it just before we go? Everybody together now. Heaven, sounding sweeter all the time. Yes, Lord Jesus, seems like lately it's always on my mind. Someday children, a prayer will be spoken of, and time won't matter anymore. Everybody, with all your heart, you love me. Where am I going? see you this weekend.
Beulah Land, how I'm long for you. Thank you.